Hello and welcome to today's episode of Natural Health with CNM, the College of Naturopathic Medicine. I'm your host, Michelle Sanchez. Today I'm joined by nutritionist and gut health expert Lee Holmes, and we're delving into gut health and digestive well-being. Lee will explain what the gut microbiome is and why it's important, the factors that contribute to an unhealthy gut, and the key steps you can take to heal your gut. Find out Lee's go-to tips for nourishing and nurturing your digestive system to supercharge your health. Lee Holmes is a multi-talented force in the wellness world. As a qualified clinical nutritionist, yoga and meditation teacher, and best-selling author of the Supercharged Food series, Lee wears many hats. With 10 books under her belt, including Eat Yourself Beautiful and Heal Your Gut, she's also the mastermind behind the popular online health programs Heal Your Gut and Fast Your Way to Wellness. Lee's award-winning Supercharged Food blog is a treasure trove of food wonders, offering sustainable and ethical recipes, superfoods, and natural products, including her Love Your Gut powder. Also a patron of the College of Naturopathic Medicine, Lee is on a mission to supercharge your gut and make healthy living a delicious adventure. Hi, Lee. Welcome and thanks for joining us today. It's great to have you here and welcome back to the UK.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really good to be back.
Now, as one of CNM's patrons, you've been hosting a couple of events at CNM's colleges whilst you've been over. How's that been?
Oh, it's been so wonderful. I did a really great event in London. And even though it was the day of the massive storms, so many people came out to the college to watch the talk. And it was absolutely wonderful. I talked about gut health and how to supercharge your gut. And then I flew up to Dublin and I did a talk in the college up there, which was also wonderful. And I loved being up in Ireland and seeing the college and all the students and people that came along to the talk. So it was fantastic.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it's so beautiful over in Ireland. Just all the scenery and the people are great too.
Yeah, I loved it. We went to a little fishing village the next day called Howth, which is really beautiful. It was the home of Keats when he was in his, about from 15 to 18, he spent a few years there and wrote his first poem there.
Oh.
So it was really, yeah, beautiful town.
Oh, lovely. I love going to places like that. So they're so cute. Yeah. Now, today we're delving into the fascinating world of gut health, and often referred to as the second brain. The gut plays a fundamental role in our overall health and well-being. Now, as the gut expert, we're looking forward to hearing your invaluable insights and gut healing advice. But before we get into it, can you please introduce yourself and tell us your story and how you came to be an expert in gut health?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Lee Holmes. I'm a qualified clinical nutritionist, whole food chef, yoga teacher, and I teach meditation as well. I live over in Sydney in Palm Beach. It's actually, you know, the show Home and Away. Do you ever watch that show?
Yes. I used to love that.
Well, I live on that beach. It's called Summer Bay, but it's actually in real life, it's called Palm Beach. So I live over there in Sydney, but I come to England a lot because I was born in Canterbury and I am English and I love to come home a lot. And what interested me in gut health in the beginning, I went through my own sort of health journey, so to speak. It was about 12 years ago and I was working at the ABC in Sydney, which is kind of similar to the BBC, I guess. And I was working in the kids' music department, working with the Wiggles, Bananas in Pyjamas, you know, had a very busy job. I noticed that one day I woke up and I literally could not get out of bed. I felt really tired, exhausted, chronically fatigued. My hair was falling out in clumps in the pillow. I had hives as well. So it was really like itchy and I had these hives all over me and I lost a lot of weight quite quickly. So I went down from a healthy, you know, 58 kilos down to about 42 kilos in just the space of 6 weeks and had really no idea what was wrong with me until I went to the doctor and went through what I found to be quite a complex medical system. I went from doctor to doctor, lots of scans, lots of tests, and no one could really figure out what was wrong with me until a few months later. In and out of hospital, I was diagnosed with a non-specific autoimmune disease and fibromyalgia. I was really stiff and achy. I felt like an 80-year-old woman walking around with like really stiff and achy joints. And yeah, it was awful. And from there, I was put on a lot of different medications, immunosuppressants, anti-inflammatories, antibiotics, lots of concoction of different drugs. And for me, the side effects of the medications were almost as bad as the symptoms of the autoimmune. So I started to think whether, I started to wonder actually whether it had anything to do with my gut health, because I did make the correlation and start to notice that when I would eat certain foods, my symptoms would really flare up. So that if I was eating, you know, instant sort of meals in the microwave with MSG and preservatives in them, I would get the hives and get really itchy. Mm. And then if I was eating other certain types of food, I would get really tired, like high carb processed starches and things like that. I would get really tired after eating. And so I asked the doctors whether I could sort of look at changing my diet to see whether it was diet related. They did say it was nothing to do with diet, keep on eating the hospital food. But they said, yeah, definitely you can try that and see whether that works. And so I went home and started cooking very, very sort of simple food at home. So I was doing lots of broths, lots of veggies, but really all cooked and things that were easy to digest and gentle on my digestion, because intrinsically I felt like it was something to do with my gut. And over a period of time, a few months, my gut did start to settle down and start to heal, and I felt a lot better. So then I was able to sort of wean myself off a lot of the medications I was taking and go with a more natural approach. And that got me really interested in studying gut health. So I studied for 6 years to be a clinical nutritionist, and then just started my little blog, superchargedfood.com. And from there, I was just kind of documenting all the recipes, and people were really interested in them because 12 years ago, there weren't that many sort of anti-inflammatory style, gluten-free style recipes. And I sort of started to build this beautiful community of people who had been through the same experiences as me. You know, they'd been put on steroids. They blew up like the Michelin man, just like me. They felt similar to me, and it was really nice to kind of not feel alone. And yeah, from there, I was very, very interested in gut health. And interestingly, 8 years later, I was actually diagnosed by a team of gastroenterologists with Crohn's disease. So that was what the problem was. And it's definitely related to the gut and definitely related to diet. So intrinsically, I kind of knew at the time, but it did take a while to finally get diagnosed. And yeah, so I started my blog. And then from there, I wrote my very first book. I had been working, as I mentioned, at the ABC, so I was used to doing pitches and things like that. So I put out a book pitch to a couple of publishers, and there was a bidding war, and my book went to number one around the world, which I couldn't believe. And I've since written 10 books now. Two of them are primarily on gut health. I've got one on the anti-inflammatory style diet and some other books as well. But yeah, definitely very interested in the gut. I have my own nutrition clinic, and I see a lot of people with autoimmune and gut issues in there as well. That's kind of how I got into it.
Wow, what an inspiring story, isn't it? And I think that's something a lot of people can relate to. So essentially you were diagnosed with an autoimmune, but it was non-specific. And I suppose back then, didn't know as much as they do now about autoimmune conditions, and you know, you've recently been diagnosed with Crohn's. So I mean, how is your gut health now with all the healing and everything that you've been doing?
It's so good, and I never really relapse. Occasionally, I will get a mouth ulcer, which is a sign for me that the Crohn's has flared up a little bit. But it's only for me actually nowadays, very occasionally, like once a year, and it is due to stress. So I feel like stress is a major component to autoimmune as well. So if you're going through a stressful period, you can have a relapse. But in terms of day to day, I'm really good and going really well and operating at about 90%, which I'm super happy about. I sometimes do still get a little bit tired occasionally, but I'm so, so much better than I was.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how stress and diet play such a huge role, but sometimes people don't always make that connection. So with you, with the symptoms that you were getting, was it kind of like a gradual thing? Because obviously, you know, you said your hair was falling out and the fatigue, or did you just get to a point where it's just, you just couldn't cope with it anymore?
Yeah, I think it was a gradual thing. And I think I wasn't really tuning into my body because I was just externally focused on work and bringing up my daughter. And, you know, I probably had niggling symptoms, but that I just brushed aside and I didn't really focus on. And so by the time that I couldn't get out of bed and I was definitely chronically fatigued, I knew I had to do something then. But I think it had been building up and accumulating for a number of years, for sure.
And I think that's what happens. And I think sometimes we ignore those signs, don't we? And just carry on because we need to. There are like little warning signs to tell us to do something about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, definitely. And now I really tune in to my body. So if I feel like I'm maybe coming down with something, I do rest and I do all the things that I need to do. And then I hardly ever get sick anymore, which is really good. I kind of, it's an early intervention approach, which I think is, and a natural approach, which I think is really helpful to have in your toolbox, you know.
It really is. Now let's go a bit deeper into gut health, because I think it has been in the spotlight in the last few years. So a lot of more people are becoming more aware of the importance of the gut. But can you just explain to us, or for any of our listeners that who might not be aware, you know, why is the gut important and what does a healthy gut look like?
Yeah, absolutely. The gut really is, when you think about it, the engine room of everything, because it's connected to so many other systems in the body as well. It can connect to your mood, your sleep, your weight, so many different areas of your body. And I guess for a lot of people, some of the common signs or symptoms of an unhealthy gut, it can really sort of manifest in a whole various different ways. Some of the main ones that people notice actually, changes in bowel movement. So sometimes people would get chronic constipation, or they might get diarrhea, or they might swing from one to the other. Gas and bloating is also a really common one for a lot of people, sort of IBS type symptoms. So that's very much a sign of poor digestion and imbalances in the flora within the gut. If that's imbalanced, if you've got too much bad bacteria and not enough good bacteria, that can cause some bloating and gas as well. Sometimes people get pain after eating as well. And that can be indicative of different gut-related issues. It could be inflammation. It could be irritation as well. And then there are other food intolerance type scenarios as well. So people might have unexplained sort of sensitivities to different or certain types of food. Sometimes they eat them and they feel fine. And then other times they get changes to their gut environment and they may get skin disruptions. They may feel really tired after eating. Also, weight can change as well. So if there's like a significant, like for me, an unexplained weight loss quite quickly, that could be associated with a gut issue as well. Also, fatigue and sleep disturbances are a big thing as well. Persistent fatigue, you know, waking up and you still feel really tired, or you go to bed and you sort of can't get to sleep. And then, of course, there's the mental health side of things as well. So changes in mood, anxiety, depression, poor concentration at work, you know, you're trying to concentrate or focus on something and you feel a bit brain foggy, that can definitely have something to do with your gut health as well.
So it affects the whole body, basically.
The whole body, even like for me, like the fibromyalgia and the joint pain and inflammation in the gut, that can actually manifest as joint pain as well. And then, you know, there's deficiencies in nutrients as well that can cause different issues to do with your gut. So yeah, there's a whole myriad of different symptoms and areas where you can feel that are connected to the gut.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, those nutritional deficiency will often come if the gut is out of balance, then people are not absorbing nutrients and processing them efficiently. So talk to us a bit more about the gut microbiome. You mentioned the gut flora. You mentioned that if that's out of balance and why that's important. For our listeners that, who aren't familiar with that term, could you explain what it is and why it's important?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really like, I talk about it as an Amazonian rainforest, if you can imagine, you know, beautiful scenery with the foundation of the forest and the trees and the birds and the butterflies and the flora and fauna. That's kind of like your gut. It's a multicultural sort of community, very diverse community of microorganisms. And they live within that community. And those sort of microorganisms could be bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other microbes. And they all sort of inhabit this GI tract. It's quite a complex ecosystem as well, because you've also got your gut immune systems, and your gut immune cells talk to your good bacteria or bacteria in the gut, and they have this communication pathway as well. So within that sort of rainforest, the way that I like to look at it is you've got your foundation, your soil, and to look after that, you would want to be having
immune-based supplements, things like zinc, colostrum, vitamin D, vitamin C, that would be really good to build it up. And then you've got the trees in the forest as well. So they are your good bacteria, but those good bacteria you want to be able to feed. And the way that you feed them is through prebiotic-rich foods. So you've got your trees, which are your probiotics, your good bacteria, and then you've got your prebiotics, which are your food for your good bacteria. The thing with all the different microbes in there and the good bacteria, some of them only last seconds or minutes within the gut. So it's really, really important for them to be fed. And it's really important for them to have diversity. So you've got all these different, incredibly diverse trillions of microorganisms, all symbiotically kind of having relationships with yourself and with one another within this microbiome. There are different sort of functions that your microbiome does towards your health. So if you look at some of them, they really help with your digestion and your metabolism of nutrients. So they really help break down the foods that you eat and, you know, the complex carbohydrates, the fibers, the indigestible compounds. So they help with all of that. And they also help with your immune system and your gut immune system. They help to keep that nice and regulated. So if your gut microbiome is balanced with a healthy balance of good bacteria in there, it does play a really crucial role in modulating your immune system. And then it also helps with the synthesis of certain vitamins and short chain fatty acids also within your gut as well. So there are a lot of processes that happen within there, including building energy for the body and metabolism and immune regulation, which I mentioned before.
Thank you for explaining that. And how would someone get a picture of their microbiome, because obviously everyone's microbiome is different. What's a good way for people to find out what theirs is like?
Yeah, well, you can do testing. I know in Australia there's a lot of tests, like this CD4 test that create like mapping and a picture of your microbiome, and so you can have a look at that and you can see all the different strains as well. If you don't want to do that or consult a naturopath and go that far, you can also look at your body and you can see the way that you're reacting to certain foods, or you can see if you get any symptoms. And if you do, then you sort of know that your microbiome may be a bit out of balance. And the things that kind of bring that on, that imbalance in the gut, are things like taking antibiotics, smoking, alcohol, a lot of sugar and inflammatory foods. The sugar can kind of really feed the bad bacteria in the gut, and then you could then have an imbalance. So, yeah, you could look at it sort of inwardly yourself. You could keep a food diary, or you could go and get proper testing and really, really find out the strains that you have and kind of what you need to build on and work on after that.
So doing a food diary or something would be a good way for people to kind of monitor the symptoms and the foods that they're eating.
Yeah, definitely. And then sort of, you know, if you are feeling bloated after eating, could be a certain food, or it could be that imbalance within the microbiome is playing a significant sort of role in that as well, in those symptoms.
You've talked about sugar and processed foods, but what are some big no-nos for, big foods that contribute to poor gut health?
Alcohol is a really big one, and believe it or not, smoking is as well. So that can really strip your microbiome of good bacteria. Processed foods can as well as, you know, your starchy carbs and your white bread and pastries and processed foods, because they also feed the bad bacteria in the gut. So it's a lot of foods like that. You know, the ones we kind of already know, a lot of us, when you greasy fish and chips, starchy foods, all the ones that we kind of know about already.
And how about things like sourdough, for example?
I mean, sourdough can be quite good because it's fermented, and that can have probiotics, which actually feed the colonies of good bacteria, or they are contribute to the colonies of good bacteria in the gut. So sometimes sourdough for some people can be good. For some people with gut issues, they also have histamine issues attributed to it. There's a link between the two. And sourdough and fermented foods cannot be helpful for them. So it really is such an individual thing when it comes to gut health, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes there can be like, you know, healthy foods that people can react to, can't they, as you say, because of the histamine and stuff.
Yeah, and also things like garlic and onion, which are so healthy and prebiotic. deadly rich, but some people get bloated after them because they just react to some of the sulfur and substances within those, the compounds within those ingredients. So it is very much an individual thing. But honestly, once you heal the gut, I'm finding a lot with my clients that they then are able to tolerate a lot more of those foods, which is really great. It's your gut changes all the time. Your microbiome changes all the time. And it doesn't mean just because you have a bad gut now that you're always going to have one. And there are a lot of natural health solutions and foods as medicine that really help to improve your gut health.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really important point. And just going back to the alcohol, is it the sugar or the alcohol itself? Like, what is it specifically that's damaging the gut?
Yeah, it's different things. So it depends on the alcohol. Sometimes things like beers are very yeasty and they can contribute to the overgrowth of bad bacteria in the gut. Some alcohol is quite acidic, which can sometimes interfere with the gut lining, which then interferes with the nutrient absorption as well. Some alcohol is quite sugary, so they also interfere with that. And if you're drinking a lot, it is quite taxing on the liver as well. So it's a whole combination of different things in terms of alcohol.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Natural Health with CNM. Still to come, I talk to Lee about the lifestyle and environmental factors that affect gut health and the key steps you can take to heal your gut and reduce inflammation. Are you or a loved one struggling with health issues? Would you like to change career and become a natural therapist? CNM offers a wide range of short courses and diploma training both online and in class. Contact us today for a limited time to save 10% on short courses using the code PODCAST. Visit www.cnmpodcast.com. How about other lifestyle factors like stress and sleep? And I know you said stress was really impactful for you, but are there any other lifestyle factors that impact the gut negatively?
Stress is a really, really big one. And obviously sleep, working too hard, overworking, over-exercising even, you know. I have a lot of clients that over-exercise because they think they're being really healthy. And that can impact your gut health as well because you're just doing way too much and you're not giving your gut the chance to come back to homeostasis again. Also eating and overeating, you know, eating all the time and snacking all the time. You need to sort of give your gut a rest from, because if you imagine it, it's constantly digesting, you know, for years and years and years, it's doing its job and it's usually doing its job really well, but overeating is another thing as well that can contribute to bad gut health too.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? We seem to be in this snacking culture. People are always munching.
I know, and it's very marketed, isn't it? Like snack foods, there's a lot of marketing around it. And even healthy snacks for some people, you know, with a lot of dates and things like that, some people react to those ingredients in those snacky sort of foods as well. So I think that sometimes, especially like if you're going to bed around 9 or 10, I think eating earlier around 5, 6 o'clock is a really good time because it sort of gives your body that time to digest after eating. And then when you do go to bed, you have a better sleep because otherwise you're awake and you're still digesting your food and also kind of stimulating foods at night as well. Chili, we all know what these are, you know, coffee, chocolate, that kind of stuff at night can interrupt your gut and your gut health because the gut actually has its own circadian rhythm and it competes with your own circadian rhythm. So if they're competing with each other, it's going to be really hard to get to sleep. And also if you're, interestingly about sleep, if your gut microbiome is out and you do have that unhealthy mix of good and bad bacteria, if you've got too much bad bacteria, it can actually affect your pain perception. So you could go to bed thinking that you're in a lot more pain than you actually are. And it also regulates fullness after meals. So you could be eating a lot and still feeling hungry and still, you know, continually eating like that. So yeah, there are so many things that the microbiome is responsible for. You wouldn't really make the connection in the everyday world, but they are definitely linked and connected.
So interesting. I didn't realize it had its own circadian rhythm.
Yeah, and also when you think about it with sleep as well, probably about, I'd say, 85, 90% of serotonin is manufactured within the gut, and that's a precursor to melatonin, which is your sleep hormone. So you want the microbiome to be nice and healthy in order for that serotonin production, in order for your melatonin to be produced, and then you sleep better. So there's all those kind of processes as well that happen, and hormonal sort of things that happen as well.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that, going, you know, eating, you're getting from work late, you know, do all the things and you're eating and then going straight to bed. And I do hear that a lot as well. So as you say, eating earlier, letting it digest is a much better way to eat.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree.
Now, how about environmental factors and toxins? And can you give us some examples of ones that are bad for the gut?
There's a lot of sort of toxic environmental things that are out there at the moment, you know, from Wi-Fi and all of those other sorts of things as well, to preservatives, additives and things that they spray on, or, you know, pesticides, fungicides, herbicides that they spray on our foods. So they are all going to affect the microbiome. All of those things are going to affect them. So they're some of the main ones. And also drinking water. I don't know what it's like in Britain, but in Australia, we have a lot of things added to our drinking water, like chlorine and other things like that, that can strip the microbiome of good bacteria as well. So, yeah, there's those factors as well.
Yes, the drinking water. I mean, I noticed that when I'm in Australia, actually, that the stinks of chlorine in the water. And unless you've got a good filter, I mean, even just using those Brita filters, you can still smell it off that. I mean, look, I think here there's still lots of, you know, toxins and things in the water, and, you know, different regions obviously add certain amounts of chlorine, etc. But yes, I think getting a quality water filter is important.
I think so too. And also I noticed in England and in London especially, you know, with the older buildings and they've got the copper pipes, there can be more sort of heavy metals within the water as well, because it's obviously older. There's a lot of history and, you know, still got the beautiful, beautiful, stunning old buildings. But yeah, some of that as well can contribute to negative sort of microbiome as well.
And then you've got all the kind of cleaning products and personal care products.
Oh, yeah, forgot about those. Yep, there's all of those too. And also the skin has its own microbiome too. So if you're using a lot of sort of products on your skin that are not so natural with toxic sort of chemicals in them, that's going to get into your skin subcutaneously, I suppose, and get in through the skin layers and get into your body. So I think it's always a better approach to try and go a little bit more natural if you can. Natural is always better.
Now, I think we could all do with a bit of gut healing. What steps would someone need to take to heal their gut?
So when I was in hospital and I came out of hospital and I started to sort of look at healing my gut in the very beginning, I did it in a four-step process, because I realized after a bit of trial and error that, you know, going straight to a probiotic for me wasn't a good thing to do, because my gut wasn't healed. My gut lining wasn't healed and I was just wasting my money on expensive, you know, supplements. And so what I did was, for the first kind of month or two, I went on that very gentle diet that I spoke about before and just really went for more an anti-inflammatory style diet. I've interviewed a lot of gut experts and scientists and researchers over the years, and they disagree on so many things, but what they do all agree on is that a sort of a more Mediterranean style diet is probably one of the best ones for gut health. So yeah, I just went back to that very, very kind of simple diet with bone broth and broths and just simple cooking with minimal ingredients. And then once I'd done that, that was sort of stage one. And then stage two, I looked at sort of more cleansing my body from a lot of the medications that I had been put on. And I went to India and studied Ayurvedic medicine over there and learned so many different methods for sort of cleansing the body. Some of them were a bit crazy. Some of them were, you know, interesting, you know, from oil pulling, where you put sesame oil in your mouth and swish it around, because your mouth is kind of the first entry point to pathogens. And then, you know, from tongue scraping to body brushing, and taking my product, which is diatomaceous earth, the Love Your Gut powder as well, which really, really helped to sort of clean the gut of those bad bacteria, heavy metals and fungi and that sort of stuff. So I had a period of sort of cleansing the gut. And then once I'd done that, I started to really look at diet I felt like that was a really good stage then when my gut had healed a little bit. And then I started looking at how can I recolonize those populations of healthy bacteria in the gut. So I started to look at all the foods that were really good for repopulating. And they were things like the prebiotics and the probiotics. So the probiotics was more, you know, more kefir and yogurt and sauerkraut and fermented sort of foods and things like that. And then the prebiotic foods were, I was eating more garlic because my gut had healed a bit. I was able to have more garlic and, you know, artichokes, asparagus. Leeks are really good as well. So those kinds of really prebiotic rich vegetables, sweet potato, artichokes, even bananas, like greenish bananas are really good as well. And I started to add in a lot more fiber as well to my diet. I was never eating a lot of fiber. And then I started to think that it was very important. So I added more things like brown rice and oats and quinoa and things like that. And then as well as those things, I also looked at a very anti-inflammatory approach. So adding more fatty acids into my diet, like flaxseed, salmon, mackerel, sardines, chia seeds, walnuts, those kinds of really foods with anti-inflammatory properties. And also because a lot of the scientists that I have sort of interviewed in the past and people that I've spoken to in the gut health industry, inflammation, this is what all the experts agreed on, that inflammation was absolutely the key to healing your gut. So I looked at a lot more anti-inflammatory ingredients, so ginger, turmeric, curcumin, those kinds of things that had a lot of anti-inflammatory properties as well. And then for the Crohn's, I looked at things like aloe vera, which is very good for soothing the inflammation within the digestive tract. And I looked at slippery elm as well. That was another one I sort of started to take as well. And coconut oil and coconut sort of products were really good for helping as well. And then added more fruits to my diet. I wanted to have, with gut health as well, diversity is so important in eating the rainbow. So some of the fruits that are really, really good for gut health are papaya, because papaya has enzymes in it that is really good for your gut, and pineapple as well, which has bromelain, which can really help reduce inflammation and help with digestion too. And I started drinking more things like peppermint tea, eating more greens, so just getting all that color and diversity. And then once I'd done that, I felt like I was really sort of back on track with my gut health. I then started to look at stage four, which was just looking at my lifestyle, you know, how busy I was back then and working full time and being a full time mom, and became a meditation and yoga teacher and started to introduce a bit more meditation into my daily practice. And that helped a lot, because the other part of gut health is also your nervous system and nervous system dysregulation. So looking at how you can bring your anxiety or stresses down so that then you can, your digestion will be working a lot better, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that four-staged approach is a really good way to look at it. And also it makes it more manageable for people. Because if you think, oh, you got to do all of these things, it's like, where do you start?
Exactly.
And I suppose it's along the side, you know, the weed, seed, feed kind of protocol, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely that. And then I don't know if I mentioned in the beginning too, it was kind of at the very beginning, taking out those things that potentially really triggered me as well. And so I identified those over a period of time and sort of eliminated them. For me, one of the worst things was MSG. And they put that in a lot of the processed foods. And I was just like, I would eat it and just break out in hives. So yeah, we're kind of taking out those sets of foods that I was kind of sensitive to as well back then. I can eat anything now, really, now that my gut is healed, but I have a very sort of balanced diet as well now.
That's really good and really inspiring as well, because I think a lot of people will be struggling with lots of symptoms that you've mentioned, you know, and it's very hard sometimes for people to change their diet, and having that sort of light at the end of the tunnel, you know, is good for people to say, you know, you don't have to be restrictive the whole time. It's just about getting the body back into balance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And little things that they can do every day. So for example, they're making scrambled eggs, put a little bit of turmeric in there. They're making porridge, put a little bit of, you know, love your gut powder in there, or something that's going to help, aloe vera, slippery elm in there, that's going to help the gut. Just simple little things like that, little additives. Add some flax seeds to a smoothie, add turmeric to a soup. that kind of thing.
And you mentioned the probiotics and the prebiotics, and the prebiotics are the, for those that are not aware, are the food that feeds the probiotics, aren't they?
Yep, that's exactly right. The food for probiotics.
Yeah, and people would eat those together, I assume.
Yeah, they can eat them together. They can eat them together. I actually have like my symbiotic product, which is prebiotic, a probiotic, a digestive enzyme and a dietary fiber all in one. But you can get all of that from your food as well. So I have a recipe actually on my website. It's called the Prebiotic Tray Bake. And it's got so many different prebiotic veg in there. And then you'd be having that with like a yogurt dressing. You're kind of like doing it all at the same time.
I like that. We'll pop a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a good recipe, actually, that one.
Now, you mentioned the Diamatis Earth as a good for, you know, clearing out toxins. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the Diatomaceous Earth. So I have that called the Love Your Gut Powder, and that, just starting with half a teaspoon of that, you put it into water, juice or a smoothie and you have it daily. It's very gentle. It's a food, not a medication, and it's not like a clay. It's a food source. But what it does is, through a process of negative ions, it kind of sweeps gently through the gut and picks up a lot of those bacteria, fungus, heavy metals that are sort of accumulated along the lining, like the junk in your trunk, I like to call it, gently sweeps it out of the body. It's not a laxative as such, but it does gently over a period of time clean your gut. So then once you've got a cleaner gut, you can then absorb a lot more from the nutrients that you are eating, and you can use your microbiome and to generate more energy for the body. And that's kind of what you want, isn't it? You want that engine room to be energized, and so that you feel energized, and so that you are sleeping better and your skin improves, and yeah, you just overall generally feel better.
Definitely. And how long would somebody need to take that for?
People take it long term, but if you took it for 6 weeks, you would definitely get all of the benefits of it.
And are there any other specific nutrients or supplements to consider to support gut health? I know you've mentioned a few, like, you know, slippery almond, aloe vera and things, but are there any other ones?
I think finding like a symbiotic, like mine, like a probiotic and a prebiotic, a digestive enzyme and a dietary fiber supplement, if you cannot get what you need from your food, is actually a really good thing to do. I think I did mention ginger before, which is really good. If you are not vegetarian, sometimes gelatin, if you're making little jellies and things like that, that can actually be helpful for rebuilding the lining of the gut as well. And broths and things like that are really good. If you think about your gut as, I don't know, if you think about it, for example, as like an area, what you want to do is build up the base of that area and then the lining of it. And so some of the things, as I mentioned before, to do that, zinc-rich foods, so like mussels and things like that. Vitamin C is really good as an antioxidant to really help the gut as well. So, you know, your citrus fruits and things like that. Papaya, as I mentioned before, is very good as well. Anything high in vitamin C can help. And vitamin D is good, so vitamin D-rich foods as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And any other lifestyle practices? You've talked about obviously the relaxation techniques and mindfulness, but is there anything else that can help?
I think some of the main things are, you know, exercising is really good. I think exercising in the morning, like first thing in the morning if you can, is going to be really good, because that's always going to support a healthy gut. Because when you exercise, it promotes regular bowel movements. And especially, like, say, for example, if you are working an office job and you're sitting down to lunch, even if you, after lunch, you get up and just do a 10-minute walk around or a 5-minute walk around the office, that's actually going to be really helpful to stimulate bowel movements. So that's really good. Stress management, of course, we all know that, like meditation, deep breathing, yoga, like a gentle yoga practice is very good. And mindful eating is a really good practice, I think, to get into. So, you know, just drawing your awareness and attention to what you are eating and trying to slow down a bit as you are eating and think about the food and how good it tastes and where it's come from, if you can, and chewing it a few more times than you ordinarily would. All of those things actually do contribute to better digestion. And then there's, of course, sleep, so getting adequate sleep. And then the other really big thing we've talked about a little bit is hydration. So just making sure you're getting enough water and hydration. And that's going to really help with nutrient absorption as well. And also maintaining the mucosal lining of the gut. You want it to be nice and supple and soft. So making sure that you're hydrated, it's essential for digestion.
And going back to hydration, are there any like herbal teas that you recommend? You mentioned peppermint, but specifically for gut health, because a lot of people struggle if they're drinking coffee and things like that.
I do dandelion. I love dandelion tea. So I do a lot of dandelion. It's a good liver detoxer, but I also find it quite good for digestion. In India, they drink cumin tea. So just cumin from your spice cupboard, you can pop that into a cup with some water and some lime, and that's a really, really nice drink. Turmeric, again, like you can make a turmeric latte or turmeric sort of toddy with some of your favorite whatever kind of milk or plant-based milk that you like. That's always really nice as well. Fenugreek is quite good for stimulating the gut and also for weight loss around the middle. So that's another herb that's quite good. For some people, lavender tea and chamomile tea are quite relaxing for the gut too. And licorice sometimes. Yeah, they're the ones I would recommend.
Lots of options then. And now just to finish off, what would be your biggest tip for our listeners in terms of optimizing gut health? Because we obviously talked about a lot today.
I think tune in, take it slowly, try and chew your food a little bit more times than you ordinarily would. Enjoy your food. It's not about cutting everything out of your diet. So really, it's just about balance and moderation, and don't worry too much about, because if you're stressed when you're eating, it's whether you're eating healthy food or unhealthy food, it's not going to be good for your digestion. So just, you know, tune into your body and listen to its cues and signs. I think that's a really good thing to do.
Really good tip. And I think we all need to do a bit more of that. Now, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom with us. Where can listeners find out more information about you and the work that you do?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been really nice to talk to you, Michelle. My website in the UK is superchargeyourgut.co.uk. And then for all of those recipes, you can go on to superchargedfood.com, and there's a whole bunch of recipes on there. But if you're interested in gut health specifically, superchargeyourgut.co.uk. And then on Instagram, I'm Lee and then Supercharged. So Lee Supercharged.
Oh, well, thank you again. It's been very inspiring and amazing knowledge. Thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you for having me, and have a lovely day.
And you. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks for listening, and a big thank you to Lee for sharing her wealth of knowledge with us. You can find all the information discussed today and more about Lee in the show notes on the CNN Podcast website at www.cnnpodcast.com. And if you're interested in learning more about gut health, nutrition, or naturopathy, check out CNN's range of short online courses and diploma training on the CNN website at www.naturopathy-uk.com. And we have a series of open events coming up in the next few months, and you can find all the details on the events section of the website. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe through your favorite podcatcher so you don't miss any future episodes. While you're there, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating or review, as this helps us when creating new content.